key text right now is in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37, and Matthew chapter 9, 36 through 38. So let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. We love you. We love your word, Lord. We love you. Are your word, Jesus. You are the word made flesh, and we love you, and you first loved us. And we thank you for giving your scripture, your word, your truth, and the Holy Spirit of truth to lead and guide us through all truth and revelation through your scripture. We thank you how to show us how to apply it to our lives and let it rip right through our lives so the world and people around us change. And to you be all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So it was so cool as some of the teen testimonies tie right into my message. I was like, thank you guys for sharing, because a lot of them didn't know exactly what they were gonna say. So I'm gonna say, have you ever been through a season where you got sideswiped? And I'm not saying in your car, but that's what it felt like. Something came out of nowhere and it hit a blind spot, and it could have been tragedy, could have been death, it could have been grief, loss, it could have been a betrayal from the someone closest to you. It could have been an awful doctor's report. It could have been just your whole family got torn apart. And in those moments, I don't know about you, but when something hits you that hard and you don't see it coming, you sometimes get thrown into a tailspin and you can find yourself in a ditch. And when I'm talking about the ditch, I'm talking like that emotional, spiritual ditch of despair, of grief. And you know you got to get out of the ditch. You know the ditch isn't a safe place. You know, but there's just something in you so tired of fighting, so hurting. You just don't have the strength in you to crawl out. I've been there a couple seasons in my life. Can we just raise our hand and say, this is truth. And this is your testimony, y'all. And if you're in it right now, we're going to pray for you at the end, because you are just in the middle of your story. I've been there. Many of you know my story. And I remember crying in that ditch going, I know I need to get out of this. I just don't have the strength. And sometimes some of the most raw prayers are just help, Jesus. You run out of words. And yet, so wild as he answers. He always answers. And first and foremost, he answers through his word, scripture, right? So sometimes I would just, in that ditch of despair, of brokenness, I would open up the word. And I'll tell you, like, the tears and the emotions, you know, it's hard to read. So you just stare at the page. Anybody been there where you just staring at the page? I couldn't tell you what it said. I'm just staring. And then I read the same scripture over and over and over again. And honestly, like Jacob shared, that's the one. That's the scripture. That's him. He is meeting me right where I'm at. And he's with me. He didn't leave me. And that's it. And that's the living, breathing word. And here's nuts. And then you still say help. Sometimes that's all you can get out. And here's what's wild. He always answers. And he often sends someone. Come on. Raise your hand if he sent someone that came with a word in season. It was either a scripture. It could have been a hug. It could have been don't quit. It could have been I'll tell you, this is what a real friend does. They crawl in the ditch with you. Now, here's the catch. They don't leave you there. Come on. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get messy. How many people have been that friend that you're not? I've had friends that have lost in ways that I cannot comprehend. And I've gone to them going, I don't have the answer, but he is the answer. And I'm not afraid of your grief. Come on. There are those Christians say, bless you, and they keep on going. But they're the other ones that crawl in the ditch with you and put your arm around them and you help them get out. And sometimes with some people, it takes a bit. Does that make sense? Because they've been there so long, they don't know anything else but that. And they stand by your side and they pray for you. I've had friends that have called me into the days that you don't even answer the phone. Come on, I've been there. Where I'm just, come on. You're like, just what do you do with it when you hit the thumbs down button? This is the old person talking on your phone where you don't take their phone call. Come on, they keep calling. You don't take their call. You know, you leave them on red because you're so hurting. You don't have the words, right? And what do? They keep coming after you. They keep on running. What, he is running after you, but he sends people that will run after you. So guys, don't be so quick to be offended just because they don't return your phone call 10 times. Because it's not about us. You're just the messenger. Today I'm talking about a prophetic word of encouragement, because I'll tell you, sometimes you got to go and you might need to bang down the door and you might need to tell you, sometimes you just come with a meal. How many people ready? They're not ready to talk, but you just come with a meal. Let me tell you, no one's going to turn away my mom's pot roast. Come on, they might not. You might not be ready to talk, but you'll take the pot roast and you'll take a hug. Guys, I'm talking today about a prophetic word of encouragement. You're going to be on either side of this. You're going to be the sent one at the end, or you might just realize you're in the ditch and tell you what, I'm going to have some of these teens and people around you pray for you. So get ready, because I saw it. There is something about when the Lord moves past your hopelessness, because he sends someone. And I want to talk about the prophetic in a way that doesn't get twisted. Because, you know, some people twist it. Some people make it weird. Can I just get back to the roots of what it's all about? Let's get back to the Word of God. Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 14:3. I'm reading this in the Amplified. I encourage you to read in a couple different translations because you get a really full picture. Jesus had them write Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the same story of him from four different perspectives. What? Because you get the picture in Technicolor. So read a couple different translations, man, and you'll start, it gets bright. It's like, you know what? I don't know. His word is wild. Study it, man. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But one who prophesies strengthens. Raise your hand if you've been a sent one to go strengthen a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a stranger, someone at Walmart. Come on. You have seen that parent and you've seen the pain in their eyes. And sometimes you just pay for their groceries. And you just say, Jesus loves you. I see you. And he sees you too. One who prophesies strengthens, builds up, a term edify. Raise your hand if you've been sent to build someone up. If you've been built up by someone else's words, not torn down. This society tears you down. Other Christians tear you down. What are we called to do? Strengthen, build up. And this says this, encourages and comforts. Raise your hand if you've been sent to encourage someone, to bring comfort. He is comfort those that mourn. He says, hey, what's it say? It says to mourn with those that mourn and grieve with those that grieve. Sometimes you got to just crawl in and you don't have the words and you just pray. You pray quietly and you cry with them. If I didn't have people sent by the Lord, I know I would not be here today to crawl in the ditch and pull me out. Come on. And not get frustrated with me when I wasn't ready to talk. When I really wasn't ready to come out, but they kept coming, they kept running after you. They kept running after you. And God would send friends I hadn't seen in years. People I lost contact with in college. Like I'm telling you, I hadn't seen, come on, I graduated college in 2004. I'm old. I'm telling you, God would send people, God would send strangers, and they would build me up, they would comfort me, they would strengthen me. They didn't always know what they were even saying, but they would say something, then God revealed a mystery through them. You ever said someone prayed for you and you're like, I don't know why they said it like that. I don't know why they quoted that scripture. And it's God confirming his word. He sees you. He hears you. Amplified Bible says, one who prophesies, who interprets the divine will and purpose and inspired teaching and preaching, speaks to men for their upbuilding, their construction, their spiritual progress, encouragement, and consolation. I just realized I'm still hanging this on. Let me switch over here. All right, thank you. My bad. Thank you. All right, you guys can open up your Bible to Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. So I'm going to say this. What is a prophetic word? Some people get it all twisted, make it all complicated, make it super weird, and then weird upon weird. And I'll just say this. Jesus loves you. Weird people make it weirder than it has to be. How many people are super normal outside the fact that I love science fiction and octopus and weird food? I'm like weird, but I'm not a weirdo. That's what Rachel and I talked about it. You know, come on. You know, him moving through you is the natural. He just adds the super to the natural. He is going to move through your personality. Did you know he created you a certain way with certain interests and certain language and certain style because you will reach certain people that no one else can reach? So I'm going to say this. I'm going to teach you how to do it and not make it weird. All right? Okay. So what is a prophetic word? It builds up, it comforts, it strengthens, it encourages. A prophetic word is this. It looks past the dirt of the world and our lives and someone else's lives, and it looks and it finds the gold. And there is a gold mine. There is treasure inside you that the Lord has placed in you. And sometimes we're just born in this broken world, this hurting world, and people have just thrown mud and dirt and put you down. That some people have been hurt, abused, taken advantage of, betrayed over and over again, even by Christians themselves. And that gold gets so pushed far down, you don't even know it's there. And the Lord stirs someone to see you. What did Joey say? God, I want to see people the way you see them. I want to love them the way you love them. And you start praying prayers like this, you're going to be a sent one. Because you, this is interesting. When you start asking to love like Jesus loved, to see people the way Jesus sees them, I started praying that in college. So he's ahead of me. I'm telling you, light years ahead. I started seeing, and what used to bother me, used to get, come on, you know those things that would just irritate you? I started praying prayers like that. And you know, the irritation hits first. You see the dirt first. Come on. And then I pray, okay, Lord, how do you see them? And then he would open up deep compassion, deep love. And I want to tell you this. This is how the Lord will move upon your life. I'm going to prove it in scripture, how you now know you're to be sent and you're supposed to open up your mouth and start speaking. Because once you start feeling that love of Jesus, once you start feeling that compassion, that is how God is signaling you to go and start a conversation, go pray for someone, or maybe just start with a pot roast. Or if you can't cook, I'll tell you what, you and I love a roaster chicken. I do those all the time. I go up, I got a bag of rolls and a roaster chicken. You guys start somewhere. All right, so the prophetic word is when someone sees the hidden gold in the midst of the dirt of our lives, and then ready for this, speaks life. God's word is life. If you don't got nothing but God's word, you got the most powerful force on the planet. If you can see someone through the eyes of love and faith, I don't love them, but I'm going to choose to love them by faith, you will tap into this lightning rod of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you'll speak life, and life causes dead things to resurrect. Come on, what do they do? Like, come on the table. Someone dies on the table. They get those. What are they called? The what is it? Defibrillator. And what's it? It just shoots life into them. Okay, listen. Holy Spirit will shoot out of you like a lightning rod. You ever have someone that just prays a prayer and it was just what you needed to hear, and it's just kind of like, you know, you tune out. All right, fine. I'll take prayer. I'm in a ditch. Sure, you can pray for me. And then they say that one scripture that someone spoke to you 2 years ago. And all said, oh, he's speaking to me. I'll tell you a story. I remember in college, and I was figuring it out. I was a kid. But I they were fighting depression. I'll just be honest with you. I knew they were. They were really down on themselves, like just really struggling with their self-esteem. And I was in this meeting. It was an RA meeting, resident advisor meeting. And honestly, I wasn't in the perfect place in my life. But this person honestly used to get under my skin a little bit. You know, it's just, you know, those people that just got to do it this way. She was the girl that always had to do it this way. And if someone's out of dress code, she'd like run up to get them. I'd be like, I'm not running after anybody. If your skirt's too short, fine. I don't care. You know, she'd be like with her 20-pound Bible. I mean, she got to me. But she opened up in vulnerability. She was in a ditch. She wasn't doing good. And I didn't know what to say, but I choose to see her not in judgment, not in criticism, but compassion. And what I did is I just opened up my mouth to encourage her. I didn't know what I was going to say, but you know, you just need to encourage someone that's in a ditch. And all of a sudden, a boldness, like you know something outside of yourself, like this love and this boldness, what started out as a general encouragement, something just got a little fiery in me. And I'll tell you this, is the only time it's ever happened in my life, because God's not a feeling. He's a person. Holy Spirit's not a feeling. He's a person. But the first time ever, because I didn't know what was going on, I felt something like electricity shoot through my body. Only happened to me one time in my life. I've moved in this gift many times since. And I went, oh. I was like, oh, we're getting Pentecostal in here, okay. I was like, oh. I sensed, like, it just felt like not a hurt, but it was like this power shot through me. And it was out of the words into her life. And I'll tell you, that heaviness lifted. And it was just like the whole atmosphere in that meeting just shifted. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, okay, I was done. I just stopped talking. Every once in a while it does happen. I finally stopped talking. And I went back to the meeting. I was like, whatever, you know, eating Doritos. I went back to my room and I got a knock an hour later from the head RA dorm director person. And she goes, do you know what you just did? I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. She goes, you moved in a prophetic word. I went, but I didn't say, thus saith the Lord, goddeth, ha. You know, I didn't even know it. But what happened? She was built up. She was encouraged. She was strengthened. She was comforted. Guys, it's just, this is the normal. You could do this in a business meeting. I'm telling you, just like God speak through you. Okay, we'll get back to the notes here. Here we go. All right. When the Lord speaks through us to build up, encourage, comfort, and strengthen, it reveals treasure in people they forgot was there, didn't even know was there. It says God sees you, he hears you, he knows you. I have a purpose, I have a plan for your life. And I'll tell you, it all starts with a spirit-filled life. And if you want to know what it is, I did a series on it. But really quick here, how many people have asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, I have asked Jesus into my life, and what happens is this, is you get a portion of the Holy Spirit in you because the Spirit of Christ Jesus lives in you when you invite him into your life. If you say Romans 10, 9 and 10, I believe in you, Jesus. You died on the cross. You rose from the grave. I give you my life. He comes inside you. The King of the universe lives inside you. You are the temple. You are the house of God through the Holy Spirit. But what happens, I'll tell you this, is honestly, we just get so used to just kind of keeping them in. Do you hear me? Now, people get all kind of sticky theologically in this one. I'm just going to jump. Can we just jump right to the answer? I want to say this. There's always more of him. Like a balloon. There's always more of him. I want to keep getting filled and filled and filled and filled. I want to say, I want you out of the box in my life. I want to say this. I don't get to compartmentalize my life anymore. Holy Spirit, fill me. I want all of you I can get. And I'll tell you, you can go back and read it in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2. For the sake of time, I'm going to blow right past it. But it says this. Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And there's a filling, right? But what happens? I did poke a little hole in this because you know what? If I laid this on my desk long enough with a little hole in the end, it's going to leak. And we start leaking. We spend time with him in the morning. We spend time to prayer. Hopefully, you know, praying while we're on the lawnmower. We're doing dishes, folding 5 loads of laundry on Friday. Okay, and we start kind of leaking. And we need constantly, continually, Ephesians 5:18 says, be being, the original Greek, says be being constantly and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That means you got to say this, constantly saying, overflowing, I want all of you I can get. Fill me, fill me, fill me. He didn't leave you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit means to be basically satiated or to the point of stained and dyed. What does that mean? Cucumber goes in to the pickling solution. It comes out a pickle. Jesus doesn't leave you even if you don't feel it. I am pickled. Can you ever go back to being a cucumber? Holy Spirit's inside you. I gave my life to him. But I'll tell you what happens when you get out of fellowship and out of the word and you leave the little pickle on the picnic plate out in the sun and it just gets kind of funky, angsty. I get a little angsty. Come on, real talk. When I'm out of the word and I'm out of strong Christian fellowship, I get a little funky. I get a little angsty. I'm not the crispy, joyful, overflowing peace, love, and joy thing. Did he leave me? I'm still a pickle. I'm a youth pastor, right? He's inside of me, but I need to be constantly be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Campers, guess what you're at? You're in a state of overflow. You want to know why you're feeling peace? Because you are what? Overflowing. And the big catch is this, and Jacob said it, I'm glad he shared. I need to be in constant, continual fellowship. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Mom. I need to be in constant, continual fellowship in the word, in worship, whether I feel it or not. If you don't feel it, that's when you probably need to lift your hands higher. It's a faith thing. Okay, and then the world around you gets wet with peace, love, and joy. And then the world around you starts getting wet because we start praying for them and healing and freedom is released and it surges right through us. And it all starts with
a prophetic word of encouragement. Let me tell you. Okay, we're going to go into it. Thank you, Lord. All right. So here's the key. Why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the world needs Jesus inside of you. Come on, guys. You're the box. You're the temple. You're the house. Raise your hand. I'm the box. I'm the temple. I'm the house. The big thing is get the lid off. And what I'm going to talk about today is how to not make it weird. And what I've talked in weeks past, how you stir yourself up. If you go, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Holy Spirit, I'll take every gift you have for me, not just for myself, but for every other person around me that needs what you in me. They're praying. Remember, I was in a ditch. I was praying, Jesus, help. He speaks through his word, and that's why it's so important. But I'll tell you, he will also send other people that will speak his word into your life. This is seltzer water. The moment you say, Holy Spirit, fill me up, His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is the strongest in your weakest of moment when you don't know what to say, right? Sam, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to start talking. What do? You know, you start listening to testimony, right? You start listening to other people's story. You start getting in the word. Brian talked about getting in thankfulness. And you start getting stirred. What happens when you hear testimonies? You guys start getting stirred in your heart? On the road to Emmaus, I have to go back and look at the scripture, but on the road to Emmaus, two disciples were sharing the story of Jesus and the resurrection, and they were down. They were in the ditch. Jesus, they didn't know what was going on. He died, you know, he rose, but they were in doubt and questions. Come on, some of you guys shared your doubt and question. And they started sharing the story of Jesus. Did he not do this? Did he not do this? And then what? God sent someone, Jesus himself. They didn't even know it was him. God, did you know that you are Jesus in disguise? Jesus in disguise, dun, 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 dun. All right, we listen a lot of oldies. You are Jesus in disguise. You got a flesh body on you. And Jesus in disguise comes alongside and starts talking and sharing. And what they say, did not my heart burn within me? Sometimes when people share what the Lord has done in their life, you start to feel that whirling and swirling, that burning. It might not even be a feeling. You just know it's truth. There's a light to it that shines really bright compared to the darkness of the ditch we're in. And what happens? You don't know what you're going to say. You get stirred, and then you... Oh, wait, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. God's going to speak through me. It might get weird. I might lose my job. Guys, I know Dev and I are good friends. I just gravitate because I love her. If you gravitate, you get a hug. It is time to rip the lid off, but I'll tell you, you need to stir yourself up. You need to be constantly, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between burnout and exhaustion. This was a revelation to me this week. If you are in full-time ministry, if you're in full-time people, hello, parents, full-time ministry. Okay, if you have a roommate, full-time ministry. Nurses, teachers, full-time ministry. Customer service, full-time ministry, okay? And if you are allowing God to speak to you and through you, I'll tell you, after a while, you're like, whew, I need to get refilled with him in his word and worship. Holy, I'll just say this, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. You ever feeling it? I'm just feeling it. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Get filled with the word. Get filled with worship. Okay. Now, let me tell you something else. Burnout, you got to be really careful. It is our job. Exhaustion is different than burnout. Exhaustion is you're just played out. You just got too much in your life that God is really not calling you to do. And you need to examine right now if your exhaustion and tiredness is because you have too many things on your plate. There's a reason why the picnic plate's got 3 spots, okay? You know how I go through the line? I get another plate. I don't know. All right. God doesn't want you compartmentalized. The only time you talk about him is at church in the little church compartment. He likes all up in there. If you ever seen me, I mix my food. Brad's like, that's gross. I just mix it all up and I pile it high and I get 2 plates. I can't. Brad's like, I don't even know you could eat that much. I didn't have to cook it. And the food was good there. Ribs and wing night, 2 plates. Guest speaker is talking, and I'm just, okay, I'm getting what filled up on the good stuff. So your little dabble do you, on Sunday, you just fill up the little compartment. I'll just get a little fruit salad. It's okay, I'm dieting. Now just fill up, get it messy, get it in everything. Find a Christian friend at work. If you don't have a Christian friend at work, sounds like you need to bring him to church. All right, where am I at here? There is a difference between burnout and exhaustion.
If you're exhausted and you're not ministering to people, you just got too much on your plate. And it's time to allow the Lord to prune some of that stuff off. But I can't. I feel like he's going to say you can. You're just not going to like it. Thoughts. Here we go. Why do we need the Holy Spirit to be filled with him? It's because Jesus inside you needs to get out of you to other people around you. Now, I want to read the key scripture to this whole teaching, and I'm going to share a story, and we're probably going to pray. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Now, I looked this up in about 10 different translations, and I took all these different words that they use to describe the people. Raise your hand if you have been around people or even yourself, and these are some of the overwhelming feelings you've had. When Jesus saw the crowd, they were pressing in on him, right? He had compassion on them because they were confused, distressed, harassed, helpless, weary, cast down, cast away, dejected, downcast, worried, scattered, like sheep without a shepherd. You know, the world has names for people, but I'll say this. I'm very sensitive to the emotions and mindset of the people around me. I'll walk in a room and it's almost palatable, but hi, it doesn't take a degree to figure out depression, does it? Do you need to feel it to know? There is a look in someone's eyes. They stopped laughing last year. Jesus started picking up on this. And what happened? He was moved with compassion. Then what did he do? He started moving. He started laying hands on the sick. He started lifting up those that were down. What? He started speaking life. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven you. You are worthy of healing. Why did he say that? I was reading today. I was like, hey, your sins are forgiven you. Because a lot of people don't think they're worthy of walking in healing and freedom and the blessing of the Lord or just even have healthy relationships in their life. A lot of people think they're born to be downtrodden. So he started moving and there was healing and freedom all around him. And then he said his disciples to his, he said he's exemplified what he wants them to do and be. And then he says to his disciples, he said this, the harvest is plentiful. Mom was preaching this at women's prayer. I was like, that's my sermon, confirmation. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Full-time ministry is full-time people. How many people are working with full-time people? I know some people are in a ditch on their computer, but you can minister to people online through gaming. I know people that actually share the testimony of Jesus through a gaming platform. Whatever you got, he'll use. Then the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. And that's why he said, don't you dare leave the city till you get filled with the Holy Spirit, because it will empower you, what did I tell you, to reach the lost, to reach people. It doesn't empower you to get weird. It doesn't empower you to like start your own little cult and your own little following. It empowers you to get outside the four walls and outside of this box. So people can meet the living, breathing Jesus through your hands, through your feet, through your mouth. And if you're bored, I'll tell you, you're in the box. Jesus moved with compassion to minister. So when you see broken, hurting, discouragement, weariness, crying, anger, do you know a lot of anger is internalized depression and helplessness, but we don't want to cry and we want to feel powerful. So we switch over and we go, I'll just get angry. They're really just sad. They're really just hopeless. They just like they don't like themselves. And I'd rather just feel powerful and I want to just fight. But the Holy Spirit will have you see past all that dirt and look at the gold. So how do you know that you're being prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something, to pop the lid off and allow the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you ever know this? You're like, I don't know. I don't feel nothing. I mean, did you feel, thus saith the Lord Goddess. You are to go into the break room and pray for the person that just has the angry eyes. You don't. It doesn't need to be an audible voice. It doesn't need to be tingles, right? Do you ever walk in and you just have compassion in your heart? Come on, you know their marriage is going through it. You know they lost someone. You know they're grieving. You see those dead eyes. You got compassion moving in you? Okay, what is it? Let's say this. Matthew 14:14. I'm gonna say this, the Holy Spirit prompts and directs us with compassion. It's a stirred heart that goes out to someone. It's not a feeling, it's just you have compassion in your heart. Matthew 14, 14, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat and he had what? Compassion on them. And then what did he do about it? Did he just stuff it down? Did he just put the, I'm going to put the lid on. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know. Am I supposed to talk to him? Just come on. Satan is never going to tell you to go talk to someone about Jesus. Your flesh is never going to tell you to go drop pot roast at someone's house because you know how long it takes to make pot roast. Okay. If it's uncomfortable and you don't want to do it, it's probably the Lord, okay? So the whirling and swirling is not goosebumps, all right? All the time, all right? Compassion. Jesus saw the crowd as he stepped from the boat. It hit him in the head and in the face. There's all this compassion because they were hurting. They were lost. They were weary. They were broken. They were discouraged. They were confused. It's a very confused world out there right now. Very confused on every level. And he had compassion, so what'd he do with it? And then he healed the sick. He started moving. He started a conversation. I want to say this. If you walk away and just start having a conversation with someone and ask the Holy Spirit to move it to a window to pray, and you don't have to smack your head on their, you know, you don't have to, listen, if you are, just, remember, I sang, put your hand on my shoulder. Okay. Just, you know, right when you want to make it weird, where you've only seen weird, just be like, you hear Pastor Sherry sing that old song that you heard on, put your hand on my shoulder. Okay, you're in the middle of Walmart. You're at the, it's okay. If you want them to stay open and be open for ministry, don't make it weirder than it has to be. And you might need to ask, can I put your hand on my shoulder? And you might just sense they don't even want to touch you, and that's okay. Did you know sometimes Jesus just spoke? Because you sometimes work in places that if you touch them, you can lose your job. You know what? Jesus just spoke sometimes. 1 John 4:17, as he is in this world, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. If Jesus was moved by compassion and popped the lid off by just what? Start a conversation. Look, Holy Spirit will start speaking to you and through you. Maybe he'll just bring one scripture up that you read that day, or maybe it was last week or last year. Just, hey, I don't know if this means anything to you. They might not even know it's scripture. They might be from a totally other religion, and you're going to speak scripture into their life. The most powerful force on the planet is the word of God spoken in faith. Through love and compassion, faith moves by love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. So when you sense the love of God, when you sense the compassion of the Lord moving in your heart, starting to flow through you towards someone, that is God inside you, Holy Spirit inside you, wanting to move out of you into them. You are just a vessel. So I'm going to say this, follow the love flow. Follow the flow of love. If you have compassion, create space in your life. I've been so convicted of my busyness. I used to pray for people all the time at Walmart. Now it's just BJ's. BJ's is as far as I get in life. I can get in and out there in 30 minutes and not be distracted. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to learn how to pray for people at BJ's. That means I got to give myself at least 5 to 10 minutes because I normally have 25 to get in and out of BJ's. Okay? I got to create a little space, and I've been convicted on always rushing. And I'm trying to find some space so I can, when I sense the love flow and the compassion, start moving into a conversation, move into prayer. And if anything, there's so much. Thank you, Lord. All right, here we go. I want to give you a testimony and a scripture, and we're going to pray. I went to a church. They were having a special service, and I was there by myself. And when I go to a church, I never sit in the back all by myself because that's not going to allow me to have a divine connection. You know, it's not going to allow someone to speak into my life. And honestly, like post-pandemic, we need to learn how to sit with people. So I sat next to, literally next to him, and they're like, whoa, that's where my Bible sits. I sat right beside a female. I sat by, and I started a conversation, okay? And I just started talking, and there was a space open beside me, and then another young man. I work with young people. I'm pretty good at judging ages. Seemed right about 20, like a little fresh out of high school. And I'm just talking to this girl, and then another young man comes in and sits beside me on that empty seat next to, I assume, his friend that saved him a seat. And immediately I got, and I'm going to say this not jokingly, hit in the face with a really intense smell. Now, I'm not just saying like a little BO. I was, my youth pastor was actually a youth evangelist. We did a lot of street ministry.
we go out and feed people and pray for people. So there's a smell sometimes, like a homeless smell. I'm not making fun of it. It was that intense. And Brad knows I'm a mouth breather. I have a retainer. And so I just switched right here. I just started breathing out my mouth. And I decided the world would push away. But what did Jesus do? He wasn't afraid of the dirt. He wasn't afraid of the mess, right? So I started a conversation. So I looked over and I noticed he was wearing black Dickie work pants. Everybody remember the 90s, everybody wore Dickies, right? The black Dickie work pants, and he had a jacket on. And honestly, I could tell he took effort to dress his best. I had a sense that he probably just came from work. And I just had a sense that he probably didn't have hardly any money at all. Just be honest. You know, I'm not judging. You just get a sense. So I looked over and he was holding a brand new book, and I love to read. So I was like, I'm just going to keep talking to him because probably people avoid him. Other people would move. I knew it was going to be a long service. You know when you get there early to get a good seat because it's going to go long. So I was going to be there a while. And I looked at his book, and it was How to Raise Giant Killers by Bill Johnson. And I remember that book because my cousins had read that book. So I just like, oh, hey, how's that book? I have a family member that's reading it or read it. Do you have children? He's pretty young, but, you know, you could have kids. He goes, no, I don't have children. But my niece and nephew often are at my apartment, and I wanted to see how I could help. And that's what happened. My heart just went, it felt like a dish rag soaked up in water, and it just went like this, because I knew he didn't have a lot of money, and I knew he probably just, like I said, he was probably working really, really hard. And those books cost like $12. Just hear me out, brand new book. And he wasn't getting a book for him. He was getting a book to see how he could help out his sister, help her raise her children to know the Lord. It just gripped me. I was like, oh my gosh, I just sensed his love. And he had this big beaming smile. He was just so excited. He got a good seat, and he just rushed there to get there to see what the Lord was saying. So I went up for worship, and I was just so gripped, such a compassion and love for this young man. So I went up front to worship, and the Lord, I started praying for him. I was like, Lord, God, just bless him. Like, you know, I don't know where he works. Just promote him in life, Lord God. And then I saw, because God speaks to me in pictures, I saw myself getting a big box of books. Remember, Mom? And I was like, because Mom's got a bookshelf. I got a bookshelf. We got it. Everybody in our family collects books. It's just the way it is. And I saw me packing as many books as I could in a box and giving it to him. I was like, well, okay, well, I got my direction. So at the end of worship, and I started smelling that smell during worship because he had gone down to go worship. And I was like, well, thank you, Lord. He's right here. So you know that part when you meet and greet and say hi to people? We started walking back to our seats together, and I was like, how do I not make it weird? I was like, hey, I feel impressed upon my heart. I feel like it's the Lord. I just want to give you, I have tons of books. I just want to give you whatever I got, a whole box of them. Can you tell me the topics that you're interested in? Write them all down. Give me your name and your address, and I'm going to bring them to you. So he did that. He wrote down. These were like deep top. Like, this man wanted to grow in God. And sure enough, I did. And honestly, it was about a week later because he lived up in Harrisburg in a rougher part of the city. So I went during just real talk. You got to use wisdom. And anyway, I called him, and he came out with his mom and his niece and nephew. And he was so blessed. Guys, what's this all about? He wants to move in you and through you in any capacity, in any capacity, in any, guys, in any capacity. Final scripture, Luke 10, 25 through 37. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. God wants to move in you and through you. Now, a lot of people write this off because they're familiar, so stick with me. Verse 27, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. The religious scholar with all of his degrees wanted to justify his own way of living. He wanted to justify himself. He wanted to feel good about himself. You know those people that have leading questions? Because, it annoys me more than anything if I'm in a small group and people ask these intellectual questions because they just want to debate because they think they have the answer. And then I got to go, I see the dirt. So I got to look for the compassion. Okay. So he wants to do this. And Jesus launches into this story. And the Message translation says it like this. He was looking for a loophole. He asked Jesus, just how would you define neighbor?
And Jesus replied, "Listen, and I will tell you. There was once a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho with bandits that robbed him along the way." Now, when you hear Jewish man, a religious man, I would say this, like, Jesus didn't come yet, so follower of Jesus, the term Christian, wasn't available yet. But I want you to think of this like a religious person, a Christian person, someone that see yourself as this person, right? I want you to identify as this person. "There once was a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. When bandits robbed him, he got jumped along the way. They beat him severely, stripped him naked, and left him half dead." And I'll tell you, you may not have actually gone through that, but I have been beaten and slandered and gossiped about and kicked while I'm down during the hardest seasons in my life and left. Anyone else? So imagine yourself in that state. And then soon a Jewish priest or a religious person, a churchgoer. So you thinking this person's gonna help me, right? "Soon a Jewish priest walking down the same road came upon the wounded man. Seeing him from a distance, the priest crossed to the other side of the road and walked right past him, not turning to help him one bit." Now, listen, if you're driving by a car wreck, you're going to stop. My cousin had an experience like that. There was a car wreck, and everyone else kept driving, but you stopped and you prayed. And I'll tell you, I know that person is alive to this day because you prayed the prayer of faith. Okay, that's important. It's also important when you see someone else that their life is a wreck, they're emotionally, even just in mental health, or they're just, their husband or wife just left them. Their kid just got institutionalized. They are just going through the hardest time. And you know, that's not a 3-minute conversation. That's a, "I canceled my plans and I'm going to invite you over for dinner." Okay. You got to create space. But oftentimes we are so busy. We are so overscheduled. We are so played out. We got all these things we got to do. We don't have time, including myself. I'm working on it. We're too busy. We're late for church. I get it. "Later, a religious man, a Levite, came walking down the same road, likewise crossed to the other side to pass by the wounded man without stopping to help him." So this term religious is interesting. 2 Timothy 3:5, English Standard Version, "having the appearance of godliness." We dress the part, we act the part, we talk the part. We got our 20-pound Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. I like it. "Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power." New Living Translation says, "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." I want to say this. I talked about quenching the Holy Spirit. I talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. I have talked about resisting the Holy Spirit. There are things that we do when there's things inside of us, compassion, or just, you just know you're supposed to start a conversation and we push it down, or we're in such a negative mindset, then instead of opening up our mouth and what we're being filled with is negativity, gossip, criticism. And that's what flows out. Complaining, grumbling, that's what flows out. And it's just like vomit on everyone else. It actually says those words grieve the Holy Spirit. Denying the power of God is he's in you and he wants to flow through you. 33, "Finally, another man, a Samaritan, came upon the bleeding man." Now, I want to say this. My mother was raised during the race riots in Jersey. She didn't have a prom. It was a really, our whole nation was just torn apart. I remember my mom telling me these stories and some family members. The racial tension was so high. It was violent. And there were just horrible things happening to people. And what you have to understand, you can go look it up, there was incredible racial tension and violence and oppression and persecution from the Jews to the Samaritans, and then what you want to retaliate sometimes, right? So here, this was not the heart of God what was going on here. It was an ugly time, okay? So I want you to think back to those days. These are the days of Martin Luther King Jr., right? There's just tension and violence and hurt and anger and unforgiveness. And what you have to understand, the people group that received the most oppression was the Samaritans. And this is what the Samaritan did, because he was going his way, probably in business, and he looked and he saw someone that looked like someone that hurt him and his family, that made life very, very hard for him, that oppressed his people, his family, the embodiment of that pain in his life. And he looked past the dirt. And this is what the Samaritan did. The Samaritan was moved with tender compassion for him. Message translation says, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. How do you know the Holy Spirit wants to move through you in a prophetic word of encouragement? Compassion, your heart goes out to them, okay? So, and then he did something. What do you want me to do? Well, sometimes you don't need to ask. Sometimes you just got to do something, right? Get in the ditch with him. He stoops down, and I'll tell you, he probably got dirty. The man's covered in blood and filth. I don't know how long he's laying there, probably festering wounds, and he gets dirty, and it just he gets down there with him, and he gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Sometimes you got to help out with the natural and the physical stuff before you're able to minister to the spiritual stuff, and it will cost you time and resources, and it's all unto the Lord anyway, because everything we have is his anyway. People are messy. Life is messy. Jesus was not afraid of our mess. He wasn't afraid of my drama. It's time to create some space and get the walls down. What if they look like someone that hurt you? Well, then you're going to need to ask God to look through the dirt and see in the way Jesus sees him. All right. So now tell me, which one of the three men who saw the wounded man proved to be the true neighbor? He's speaking to the religious man looking to justify himself, looking for a loophole. The religious scholar responded, the one who demonstrated kindness and mercy. And Jesus said, you must go and do the same as him. So I want to say this. Who is your neighbor? This story says anybody you see is your neighbor. Who are you supposed to minister to? Anyone in need. If you see, there's compassion, if you have no compassion, you start praying for compassion, praying. God, help me see them the way you do. Okay, you guys can stand up. We're going to pray. I want to say this. You are the answer to someone else's prayer, and they just don't know it yet, and you probably don't either. If you don't know what to say, Psalms 81 verse 10 says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Matthew 10:19 says, don't worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At the time, you will be given the words to say. So what is your job? Your job is to stay constantly, continue, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Choose thankfulness. Choose gratitude. Stay in godly Christian fellowship. Stay full of the word. And when you don't feel like it, worship with everything in you. Get whirling and swirling. Get that thing stirring in you. And it's not a feeling. Do you have to sometimes choose compassion? Do you have to sometimes choose to see them the way Jesus does? And I'll say this. Do you have to feel goosebumps to go start a conversation? I need to feel led. All right. So we're just going to pray, and we're going to do what I saw the Holy Spirit show me to do. So I'm just going to say this. We're going to just start this and just say this. If you feel like you are not in overflow right now, and it's okay. It's been a long 7 months for me with my newborn. Holy Spirit, I just challenge you to say this. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. Help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to see them with the love and compassion. Help me to see the gold inside them. Help me to see the things in them, the mysteries in them that no one else can see. Help me to speak life into them. Help me to speak scripture into their life. Holy Spirit, the evidence of a spirit-filled life, man, it's full of joy, peace, love, and boldness. Now, I want to say this. Anyone that when I describe that ditch, you say, I'm in it. I'm in it. A ditch of depression, anxiety, grief, fear, loneliness, despair. Whatever that is, I'm just going to have the people around you, and especially I'm going to send the campers out, because they're in an overflow right now, to put their hand on your shoulder and pray. Just pray a blessing over you. Pray words that would build you up, encourage you, comfort, and strengthen you. And if you don't got anything, just the first scripture that comes to mind is probably the most powerful thing you can pray. And sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals mysteries that no one else would know, but you know exactly it was God speaking through you. So if you just feel like you're in a ditch right now, just exhausted, burnt out, grieving, whatever it is, need fresh vision. If that's you, just raise your hand just like this, and I'm just going to send the campers just to put their hand on your shoulder. Anyone? Come on, guys. There you go. Go ahead. All right, campers, go look for someone. Just put your hand on their shoulder, and you just pray a blessing on them. Just let the Holy Spirit just come right out of you. Pray scripture. Holy Spirit, I just thank you so much for this beautiful congregation of people. Lord, those that are just in a really tough place right now, those that feel really beat down, Lord God, we just thank you. We just release your healing power and your freedom to flow through them in Jesus' name. Those that are struggling to love themselves, Lord God, I thank you. Just a flood of love in Jesus' name. Lord, those that are just, their peace is not their normal. Holy Spirit of peace, you are coming in like a flood. And I command anxiety and depression to go in Jesus' name. Anxiety and depression, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Self-hatred, go in Jesus' name. Lord, we just release your peace, your love, your joy, your healing power. Your healing power. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You are flowing through them and purging out of them the hurt and the pain, unforgiveness. Go in Jesus' name. We repent for holding aught and offense towards anyone right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that we receive your forgiveness, and therefore we give that forgiveness. Freely we have received, freely we give. Lord God, we just thank you. You are healing relationships, families, and marriages that have just been shattered. You are the healer. You are the restorer. You are resurrection and the life. Jesus, you are resurrection and the life. You specialize in bringing dead things to life. And we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Spirit. You who began a good work in us are bringing it to completion. And I thank you, you are stirring us to choose to put you first every day, to prune the areas of our life, to create space so you can flow through us to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. You are loved. If you'd like anyone else to pray for you, and anybody that liked prayer, you can come forward. We'd love to pray for you. Ministry directors, church group leaders, or campers, we'd love to pray for you. I encourage you to invite someone out to lunch. Go hang out, make plans. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.